Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Well, praise God. We're going to have a word.
Lima ka nakridia sokororia sama karia sekoria sikoma nakridia baria ikriria sando koma no baria zoro korobaria kori ikubar karia manakti koma na daro korobaria sa sokorobaria sa na ba 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 korobaria la korobaria sa amaria sa to koma nakridia sokorobaria sikorobaria sa sokorobaria sa daro ria sa ebe ba ba korobaria sa to ti koma nakridia Socorbaria sat could a dear say. Ebaba Corbaria sat could a dear, Socorbaria sick, Ecrobaria sat could a dear say. Hear me and hear me clearly. You have chosen pastors. You have chosen pastors. They were not chosen by you. They were not chosen by the people down the street. These are my chosen vessels to rule, to reign, to direct this house. You need to make your decision about lining up with where they are taking you. This is where my house is going, and I only speak through the head. I only use those who are submitted to me. They hear me, they obey me. You need to stop trying to make decisions for yourself. You need to stop saying, well, I hear from God. Well, I think this is what God is saying. Well, Pastor Jim said, this is a new day, a new way. And Pastor Jim set them in order before he came home because this was my decision for who is to lead this house. This house is going forth. There is a work for this house. But the leaders of this house is this man and this woman, and you need to make your decision. Are you going to submit? And if you're going to submit, you need to be speaking my word over them. You need to ask me for wisdom for them. You need to find out where you line up and what I'm doing in this house. Otherwise, you will not receive the blessing. And if you fight against them, you're fighting against me. And if you look in the word, those who fought against God never win. I know some of you are very confused, but I'm telling you, there are those who need to hear. Do not speak against those I have set in authority. I'm well able to take care of any correction. They are chosen, anointed, and blessed. You need to decide if you want to partake of the blessing.
Thank you, Father. Praise God. Praise God. I do have this set up for you. Okay. We've got tag team this morning. Yeah, we've had the Holy Spirit. Now it's her, and then I'm going to come in, and then we'll go back and forth. But we believe God has a word for us this morning, and we're going to jump right in. We're a little long in the front part, but we'll catch up. Let me pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to come before you. We thank you, Father God, that we have the opportunity to speak into the lives of your people. And Father, I thank you that as we talk this morning, that the words that come out of our mouth honor and magnify you, Father God, and no other. And Holy Spirit, we yield to you to hear your voice and your voice alone. No other is allowed in this assembly, in this place, at this time. No other voices, no other influence, only the Holy Spirit and only what the heart of the Father would have to say to this body. I thank you, Father God, that your anointing is here. We continue to invite and to cherish the time that your anointing is here flowing among us, and we take advantage of your life being manifested in our life. Thank you for that, Father God. We give glory and honor and praise to you, sir. And we thank you that you are leading us and guiding us always in truth, triumph, and victory. And it is you who gets the glory and the honor forever and ever and ever. We bless your name, Lord. Amen.
Praise God. Good morning, everyone. God is faithful and true. We have, Pastor Richard said, several things to share this morning, but I don't think it's going to take too long, and then a little treat for you after that. So it's going to be really good. What we're doing today, I would call it the Vision Revisited. The Vision Revisited. Pastor Richard and I were having a discussion, it's been 2 or 3, maybe 4 weeks ago, looking ourselves, revisiting the vision. How many of you know the mission statement? How many of you have visited it lately? Might want to do that. We need to have the vision. That's what keeps us focused. Amen. And Pastor Richard's going to talk more about that. But when we look at the first sentence of it, we were looking at it. It said, we are a family church with a world vision. And God said, stop right there and consider those four words. Family, church, world, vision. So that's what we're going to be talking about today, and I want you to grasp it, because this is what God has put in our hearts, this is what he put in his word, and this is what we are doing, and we all have a part to play in that. It's not up to Richard and I and the ministers to come together and decide, well, we're going to do this, and then y'all can jump in if you want to. This is your vision. It's the vision of the house, not the vision of the pastors. Do you understand that? We realize and do not take lightly that God has called us to steward a vision. He didn't say, like a lot of people do, well, here's a church, do with it what you want to. They don't have a pastor anymore. Why don't you take this one? Whatever you want to do, do it. No, the vision was here and planted before we were. And so we do not take that lightly. And the vision that we have is still the vision that was set in place by Pastor Jim, our founding pastor, because God called him to a certain work, not just to do what he wanted to with a group of people. So the vision is for the house. Who is the house? You are. You are. So this is your mission, should you choose to accept it. And I have said, yes, Lord, and we will, to the best of our ability, go and grow. And the word said something about, God said, I am perfectly able to bring correction. And he has. There are times that we would see, well, let's go this way. And then we would pray about it. And God would say, no, that's not what I ask you to do. So he is talking to us and keeping us in line. And we appreciate your prayers to stay that way. How many of you love the praise team? Can you just give them a hand? Can you give them a hand? What you don't know, some of you may know, but Brother Demetrius generally plays our tracks for us, and he is having to take care of some business this morning, so Richard was playing the tracks for us, and when we send him to Brother Demetrius, we'll give him some customization. We'll say, make it a little shorter, pull this part out, pull that part out. We rework it, and so he did that for Never Lost. We don't do it exactly like the soundtrack that we got. But he wasn't here today, so Richard said, well, I'll just upload it on the PC. We'll play it, no problem. Guess what? Problem. It was a different version, completely different order and length and measures and everything from what we normally do. I think they pulled it off pretty good. I think they did. Miss Tina didn't skip a beat. She stayed right with it. So sometimes y'all don't know what the praise team is overcoming. When we are singing and, it's like, wait a second, are we supposed to sing that again? Okay, it's playing, I guess we'll sing it. And you have about a quarter of a second to make that decision. So I appreciate the praise team and staying with it, and we just keep going. We do have some funny stories from the past when it didn't work out quite so well. It's always interesting when you're using recorded music instead of live, but we appreciate that. Good praise team. So first of all, I want to talk to you this morning about family. that we are a family. We need to have that understanding that is not just a group of people that meet together if we so choose. Once we commit to a church, we're in covenant relationship with one another. How many of you remember that, the covenant, I wish I had brought it, that Pastor Jim had passed out and put with membership and in our leadership manuals? It's been many years ago, but we are a covenant people. That means if we do it like we're supposed to, we're committed to one another. We're there for each other. I've shared with you many times about phone calls that we get for help from people in the community. They have no one to turn to. Maybe they don't have any children. They're away from their children and they need help doing many different things, paying their bills, getting gas money. And I'm thinking, where's your church family? Because when you have a church family, you have someone that you can call on. There's an old country song, I don't know, Steve and William might be the only ones in here that know it, but it says, you find out who your friends are. You find out who your family is when you need a place to stay, when something goes wrong. We have family to call on. And the thing about family is it goes beyond likes and dislikes and similarities. You know, we'll choose friends sometimes because they, Sister Lou likes to shop like I do. So, you know, we'll get together and shop. Or maybe you like to cook together. I know Sister Rosie can really throw down on those tamales. Praise God. And you find people that you have things in common with. But how many of you know that you may have nothing in common with your siblings? You know, they may like to hunt and fish, and you want to shop and get your nails done. And just a lot of different things can occur with family. We're different. We have different likes. But what keeps us together? What keeps you together in your natural family is the bloodline, and it's the covenant that you have to one another, right? What keeps us together in the family of God is the bloodline of Jesus Christ. It makes us family. It makes us related. But we have to choose the process of building ourselves together. We have to choose to be there for one another. How many of you, maybe you have a large family and there's two or three siblings that are always there for Christmas and always there for what's going on, and then you've got a few that are not there. You know, I tell people you want to have a lot of children because when you start getting older, you want to be able to, you know, get some help from everybody, right? It's helpful, but that's why it's good to have the family of God, because we help one another in those ways. That is a goal. That is a vision that you must get inside of you. It's not something that just happens. And, you know, the Word tells us how to treat one another. I challenge you to go through the Gospels, go through the epistles, and see everywhere that we are admonished on how to treat one another. I'm not going to give you all the scriptures because we'd be here a while, but love one another, in honor prefer one another, respect one another. The older are to train the younger are to learn from those above you. You're supposed to stir and encourage one another to good works, bear one another's burdens, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That is the goal for family. And if I went off into what I really love to teach, I would start talking about, do you treat your husband that way? Do you treat your wife that way? Do you honor your children? Do you stir them up to good works? Do you honor your spouse and honor preferring one another? I don't want to watch that movie. Yeah, but he does. Okay, we'll do it your way tonight. Maybe next week I'll get my turn. Preferring one another, putting each other first. Those basics of how we treat the brothers and sisters in Christ is how we should treat one another at home as well. It's a vision for what it should be. As family, we should come together regularly. You know, we have a family night in the Sanders family. We're going to have a big one tonight. About 12 years after we were married, Miss Katie was born. And her birthday is Wednesday, and then about, I think, 14 years after we were married, Mr. KB was born. So his birthday is actually on the same day as our anniversary. So we're just going to have a big blowout tonight and party for the whole thing. But we come together as family and we celebrate things together. That's what we do. You know, we used to call one Sunday a month Family Day. But to me, every Sunday is family day, because it's when we all gather together unto the Father. You know, as parents, when your children get older and they have a choice of what they can do and where they can go, it blesses your heart to know that they would actually want to come to your house and be with you. That's a cool thing, right, Tara? We are blessed by that. And for God to look and see that his family is chosen to come and be in his presence and be with him, that's a good thing. We are family for the purposes of companionship. We have people to go through life with. The word says iron sharpens iron. I needed a little sharpening yesterday, and Miss Jerry was there for me. She was like, come on, girl. You got this. You got this. We need that in one another. That's why we need to build those relationships. And for the purposes of producing and training more family, so that they could grow up and produce and train more family. That's what happens with family. We have children, and if you're doing what you're supposed to do, you work yourself out of a job so that they move out someday, and then they have their own family, and then they begin to train them. And that's what we do in the house. We learn and we grow, and then you're promoted, and God puts you in places where you're discipling and mentoring others, right? Y'all awake out there? This is a lot of information, I know, but I want you to listen, because we're taking it somewhere. So we should be learning and growing and producing. We are connected by the sinew of the Spirit to be one body, clothed in flesh to function in the earth, and filled with the Spirit of God to do his will. You know, if you look at the definition of family, it is the descendants of a common ancestor. A common ancestor. When you look in the Old Testament, it refers quite often to the house of David. That is the lineage of David. Well, we are the house of God, the house of the Lord. We are of his lineage. And let's look in Ephesians chapter 2 and start in verse 18. I'm just going to read through this and comment a little bit. He says, for it is through him, through Christ, that we both, whether far off or near, now have an introduction, I'm reading from the Amplified Classic, have an introduction by the Holy Spirit to the Father. So through Christ, the Holy Spirit drew us, and through Christ we were introduced to our Heavenly Father, so that we are able to approach him. We are no longer outsiders. But we now share citizenship with the saints, with God's own people, and you belong to God's household. You are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself, the chief cornerstone. You belong to God's household. I love the scripture that says we have been made accepted in the beloved. We have special access. Some of you may remember Pastor Jim was talking about watching a video of something was going on during the time of President Bush, the first one. And he was speaking with some dignitaries, and people were dressed up in the front of the White House, and reporters were talking. And around the side, you could see his son, George Bush, in his usual jeans and cowboy boots, going in the side. See, he had special access. That was his home. He didn't have to get all dressed up and look special and holy. He was just going to see Dad. You see the difference? The world has this picture that we have to get dressed up and put on holy and act a certain way. We're just coming together with family before our Father. We need to understand how real that is, the access that we have. Verse 21 says, in him, the whole structure is joined together harmoniously, and it continues to rise, to grow into a holy temple in the Lord. A sanctuary dedicated, consecrated, and sacred to the presence of the Lord. That's us. His presence is in our midst. Verse 22, and in him and in fellowship with one another, we are being built up in this structure to form a fixed abode of God by the Spirit. And then starting in chapter 3, says verse 14, for this reason, because all of this is happening, seeing the greatness of the plan by which you're built together, I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord, from whom every family in heaven on earth is named, that Father from whom all fatherhood takes its title and derives its name. That is who we are. We are children of the Most High God. When we were teaching our kids in homeschooling, we taught a song, we are part of the royal family. You are a family of royalty. King of Kings and Lord of Lords is your elder brother. God is your father. You need to understand who you are in the earth and who you are with in the earth and choose to participate in that covenant relationship. Amen. And I've got one more scripture to share because that is who we are. And this is the vision for the family as I see it. As God has been speaking to me over the last 2 years about this. And it's from Ezekiel in chapter 37. Now I want y'all to pay close attention, okay? The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me in the midst of a valley, and it was full of bones. And he caused me to pass around them, and there were very many human bones in this valley, and they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And he answered like any wise man would, God, you know. Who knows why those bones were there? I don't want to be one of them, so I'm just going to leave it up to you, God, and let you tell me. And the Lord said, prophesy to these bones and say to them, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath and spirit to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinew upon you and bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath and spirit in you, and you will live and know and understand and realize that I am the Lord, the sovereign ruler. And so he prophesied what the Lord had said, and this happened, and the bones came alive. And God said, I will open your graves and cause you to come up. Verse 13, you will know that I am the Lord, your sovereign ruler. I put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will place you in your own land. Before we knew God, before we had the Spirit of God on the inside of us, we were those dry bones. There was no life in them. There was no function in them. But as the family of God, he has put life within us. That's our salvation. He has put sinew upon these bones. That is the Holy Spirit bringing us together as one. And then he put flesh on the bones. What does that mean? That is your authority in the earth. You don't have authority in the earth if you don't have a body. That's why evil spirits want to possess people. They want something to inhabit. You have to have the flesh on you to have the authority in the earth. So we as the family of God have come alive through the new birth, joined together by the sinew of the Holy Spirit, taking our place clothed with flesh as those in authority in the earth, and we function together to possess the land. Amen?
Tag, you're in. Praise God. All right, now we heard about the family. Let's talk about the church. The ecclesia, which is the called out ones. That's what, if you claim to be part of church, whether this church or the universal church of God, that you have been chosen. You didn't stumble upon it. Because the Bible says no man comes to the Father except he's drawn by the Spirit. And you have been chosen. He has called you. You answered, so you are part of the called out of the world for the purpose of housing the presence of God. That's what in the old tabernacle back in the wilderness days, that's where God dwelt. He gave them specific instructions to build a temple, had the outside, outer court, it had the holy place, and then there was the Holy of Holies, and that is a pattern of our bodies. We have the outside, then we have our soul, which is the holy place, and then our spirit, which is where the Spirit of God lives. But we have been called out of darkness into light for a purpose, and that is to house the presence of God. Our bodies are his temple, his dwelling place. We must tend the temple. You know, if we lock the doors here at 12:30 or whenever church is out this morning and nobody shows back up until next Sunday morning, there's going to be things going on in here that You know, there's going to be dust. There's going to be, it's going to start getting stale. The air is going to be stale. But we come in every day. Somebody's here every day. There may be a day or two that we have a holiday or we take off. But somebody is here, maybe not all day, but somebody comes in. We have to tend the temple. And we tend the fires. There's fires in the outer court. There's fires in the inner court where the Spirit of God is. We have to offer the sacrifices of self. That's the big one. That's the big one because, as I'll talk a little bit in the next section, this self likes to have its way. It likes to do what it wants to do. And we have to offer the sacrifice of self. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to him, which is your reasonable service, or some versions say your spiritual worship. So that is a very major part of being the church. We have to keep the fires burning, offering praise to God. This would indicate in the inner, in the Holy of Holies, where the lampstand was offering illumination in there, which is the Holy Spirit illuminating and revealing to us the heart of God. We worship Him. We study His Word. And we are filled with the Spirit, letting Him flow through us. But that just, it's not just a, okay, we're a church. Okay, we've got people. Okay, God moves in us. God lives in us. Hallelujah. We have a good time when we come together. But we should have a higher standard than the world. There should be a marked difference in the way we act, the way we even walk, carry ourselves, than what the world is, because we have been called out of the world. The ecclesia, the called out. We have higher standards. We should look different, and we should treat each other different than the world. The Bible says that, I lost the scripture. The world will know our love, or the world will know that we're His disciples by the love that we have for each other. So, yes, we are to love one another. That is a mark of the church of God, His temple where He dwells. We are called out of darkness into His light to show forth the praises of Him forever and ever. We'll talk a little bit more about it in just a minute.
Amen. So we are a family church. What's the next one? With a world. When we talk about the world, a lot of believers have different conceptions about what that means to go into the world. And why, you know, why should we have to do that? So I want to look just a little bit from John 3:16. Most of us, if you've been in church, you remember this from when you were a child. For God so loved the world, the entirety of the world. When you look at the Greek word there, it's not just the people in the world. He loved everything that He created. The cosmos is that word there. God so loved that He gave His Son to come into the world. And then because His Son gave to us, then He left us with that mission. Our mission field is the whole world. It starts with your neighbor, and it extends to the uttermost parts of the earth. We're not called to huddle. We're not called to circle the wagons and stay in the center and hope we can survive until it's over. We are called to go. Called to go. When you look in the New Testament and the day of Pentecost, and they were rejoicing and celebrating together and coming together in the homes, and they got comfortable in their homes, and there had to come some persecution in order to get them to go out. God wants us to go out. He's called us to go. There are many different ways to do that. Matthew 24:14, Jesus is talking about the end times, and he says, this good news of the kingdom, what we would call the message of the gospel of the kingdom, will be preached throughout the whole world as a testimony to all the nations. It will be preached. The question is, will you participate? That's the only thing that you have to wonder about is, am I going to be a part of it or not? Because it's going to happen, and I know that there are plenty of us that have said, here am I, Lord, send me. And I am the last one that ever thought I would volunteer to leave the city, much less the state, the nation, the continent. But my heart is burning with the message of the gospel of the kingdom, to see other people have what we have. We must always be aware that someone out there needs what we have. Somebody needs the strength and the comfort and the freedom and the help that you have found. We cannot be selfish. We cannot coast until this is over. Come on, people. We have to have a heart that burns to see the lost comforted, saved through His love. We need to be willing to share that. Now, whether we're the ones to go or the ones to send, that would be the finances, or the ones to stay with the stuff, somebody keeps the house going. Somebody keeps the teaching and the equipping going in the house. You come here to be equipped, and then you go out to be the family church taking that message to the world. You go out. That is our call. We know that when David took the men to pursue, overtake, and recover all, some of them stayed behind with the stuff. They had just come from another battle. Some of them were extremely weary. But when they went to the enemy and they recovered all of their stuff and the enemy stuff too, everybody got a portion of the spoils. So when you bring money and you put it in this jar up here, which it looks a little lacking to me. It's a little lacking. We've been putting change in here. People have been giving, putting in the offering. When you give and put money in there, you have a part of what God does. Every soul that is reached, every life that is touched is credited to you. When you give, when you help, when you pray, we all have a part. Amen? We have to be world-minded. We must always be aware that we who know God are the haves, and those who don't know God are the have-nots. You know, so often we define it by whether or not you're on the cover of a luxury magazine, or we define it by what kind of car you drive. You know what? Anything that's good about me that anyone else would want came from my Father in heaven. And anyone else can be blessed, but we have to share that. The reason most of them have not is because no one has told them or given them an invitation to receive. Romans 10:14 says, but how are people to call upon him whom they've not believed in? And how are they to believe him of whom they have never heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? I want you to be careful with that word right there. Preacher does not mean this guy up here. Preacher does not mean in this context, Brother John. Preacher is anyone who will share the message of the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus loves you. He's the Son of God. God sent him to be the sacrifice. He died for your sins, rose again, defeated the enemy. He's seated at the right hand of God, and you could partake in that if you want to. That's the message of the gospel of the kingdom. That's it right there. If you could say that, then you can preach the gospel. And that's what we've all been called to do. For God so loved that he gave, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And that was everything in the fall. You know, creation groans for the sons of God to come into their own understanding so it can be released from the curse. God made the whole world and all that's in it, and he wants it back. Habakkuk 2:14. He spoke it into the earth. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. He wants those things to happen, but we're not going to stand back in a circle against the wall and watch the room begin to glow for God to manifest his glory. It's going to come through each one of us. Because again, anything that is done in the earth has to be done through a body with flesh on it. And if you are a body with flesh on it, and I'd be willing to bet that you are, you qualify. You qualify. So he wants music back. He wants sports back. He wants art back. He wants governments back. He's taking those back right now. He wants the education process back under believers. He wants economies back. He wants it all. And he has commissioned us as ministers of reconciliation, co-laborers with Christ, to bring it back to him. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us, all of us, the ministry of reconciliation. God has put something in each of us, and by his Spirit, that thing that we do, that we love, that we create, that we organize, that we teach, that we model, is the thing that will reach others. And there we can preach the message of the gospel of the kingdom to them and reconcile the world to him. That needs to happen everywhere, from right where you are all the way around the world and back again. Now, some people think that if you're going to go into all the world, every Christian needs a passport. But you remember in the Old Testament, there were times when Paul and his group, they wanted to go into Asia Minor, and the Holy Spirit forbid them to go. But I thought we were all supposed to go as we are led by the Spirit. Some of you need to go to your computer and get the message out. Some of us need to go to our neighbors, to our coworkers, to that person that you chat with at Walgreens every time you go by there. Some of us are going to be called to go to other countries, other continents. As we are led by the Spirit, then we will see the message of the gospel of the kingdom taken into the whole earth. He says, then will the end come. I don't know about you, but I've said, here am I, Lord, send me.
Amen. Okay, I've got the last one. Talking about vision. Now, I'm not talking about what you see out of these eyes here. I'm talking about what's in your heart, or what's in our heart. Without a vision, the Bible says, without a vision, the people perish. Another version says, the people cast off restraint. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. But we must have a vision for all of the above. And when I say all the above, I'm talking about for the family, for the church, and for the world. We have to have a vision. We must have a vision for a relationship with God, and a relationship with God's family, and for bringing the world into both of those, into the family and into the church. Vision, and this is very important, vision governs activity. Without a vision for health, your body will actively pursue fun, laziness, sleep, junk food, and pleasure. With a vision, you have to choose what your body pursues. With a picture in front of you of how good and how well you will feel, you can back away from the chocolate. If you have that vision. If you don't have a vision, give me more chocolate. I love chocolate. You will learn what foods work with your vision, and you will pursue them. You will choose fun that puts your body into action for greater health instead of fun through movies, through video games, through sitting around, laying around. You can still have fun. I'm not saying you can't have fun. You can still have fun, but it's a different choice that will enable your vision. The more we train ourselves, or the more vision we have, the more we have to train ourselves. Vision goes hand in hand with a very nasty word. It's called self-discipline. Vision goes hand in hand with self-discipline. And I'll add right here that you can't discipline someone else for your vision. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not. You can discipline a child, but you better know which way or where that child is going. Because if you try to discipline the child, and I'm not talking about punishment or beating or withholding something from the kid because he was disobedient or whatever, but discipline as a way of training, a way of training. That's where we get the word disciple, a learner, someone who's learning. If you try to train your child to what you see or your vision, there's going to be trouble. There's going to be trouble. You need to know the bent of that child or know where is this kid going? What makes him tick? How is this going to work? And then you prepare in line with that. Do you have a vision for your body? I'm talking about your physical body. This thing right here. If you have a vision for your body, you will exercise, you'll eat right, you'll get plenty of rest and sleep. That's the results of a vision. Do you have a vision for your family? Our vision for our family is unity, harmony, no divisions, respect, and authority. That's the way we see our family. Do you have a vision for your home? Do you want it cleaned, organized, beautiful, functional, or are you like one of those hoarders that just got stuff piled everywhere and just as long as you can get from one room to the other, you don't care? That's not a vision for your house, a vision for your home. Do you have a vision for yourself as the temple of God? You know, you can have a vision for your outside body, and that will offer a set of choices that you have to choose, you have to pick. Okay, yes, I will go running. Yes, I won't eat as much of this stuff as I normally have. Yes, I will do some kind of exercise, some weight training or whatever. But I'm talking about your temple. Do you have a vision for your temple? That would involve prayer, praise, reading the word, assembling with other believers. Your vision is going to dictate or govern your activities. Do you have a vision for your circle of friends? You want godly friends, inspiring, motivating, and caring, or will just anybody do? No. If you have a vision for your friends, then you will have to choose those friends. Do you have a vision for your schooling or learning? I'd say you better. Brother Damon can tell you about what do you need to do for your major, to graduate with what you want to do. It's your choice. It's your choice. You can do whatever you want to be, whatever you want to be, but you better have a vision for it so you can know how to choose the right courses that will take you there. Because not every course that you enroll in at UT is going to take you to what you want to be. So that's why people like Damon are so important, because they counsel, they guide, they say, okay, if you want this, then you're going to have to do this, 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 and this. Don't worry about these, because that ain't going to help you. Do this, 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 and this. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He says, he gives you a vision, and then he says, okay, this is what you're going to need to do. This is what you're going to need to know and need to have. Goals for learning the word, and you're going to have languages and skills and crafts. And I'm talking about for your schooling or for your learning. What is the vision for your education? Do you have a vision for your career or your ministry? Do you want to work for someone, or do you want to be your own boss? You know, not everybody can be their own boss. And not everybody can work for somebody else. But what is your vision? What is your calling? Do you have a vision for reaching the lost with the message of the gospel of the kingdom? We do. It's going to require financing. It's going to require outreach. It's going to require going places. It's going to require facilitating someone else's going places. But we have a vision, and we have to check those boxes. This is what going to the world looks like. Do you have a vision for becoming all God made you to be? Then you're going to have to seek Him. You're going to have to listen for His voice. You're going to have to obey when you hear. Remember, that's what Michelle talked about Wednesday night. Turning your eyes to God, hearing His voice, and being obedient. The three steps to being a success in the kingdom. And do all you do with excellence. Because otherwise, you may get to a product, but it may not be the product that you want. But if you put excellence in everything you do, when you make those choices and then you start doing those choices, the activity that your vision promotes needs to be excellent. You need to do it with all your heart and all of your soul and as unto God. From unison to unity, God says, I am raising up my forces. And y'all remember the difference between unison and unity. Unison is one voice. Everybody singing or saying the same thing or doing the same thing. Unity is everybody doing something different, but for the same purpose with the same goals in mind. And I always like to reference a football team. If everybody was a quarterback, that would be unison. But you can't play with 11 quarterbacks on the field. You got to have some linemen. You got to have, and even those, you can't call them offensive linemen. You got a guard, you got tackles, you got a center, then you got tight ends, you got wide receivers. Everybody has something different to do, but they're in unity. They're not in unison. They're doing completely different. So that, from unison to unity, that's where we're going. Unison is good to get started. Unity is where we're looking to wind up. God said He is raising up His forces in a strategic assault on the powers of darkness. And, Michelle, did you want to say something about the video? Okay. We've got a short video to show you, and I'm going to let Michelle introduce it. But let me read this last line again. From unison to unity, I'm raising up my forces in a strategic assault on the powers of darkness.
Amen. That last sentence that he read is a word that the Lord gave to us in prayer one Saturday night, that is what He is doing. And we're gonna close with this video. I believe it's going to inspire you. Has anyone ever heard of a pastor by the name of Kent Christmas? I am not certain where his church is, but we have followed him for about a year, I guess, in Nashville, in Tennessee. He spoke, I think it was 2 weeks ago, when there was an event in Washington, D.C. Franklin Graham had an event, and then there was also an event called The Return. And he was one of the scheduled speakers for The Return. And when he stood up and began speaking, the Spirit of the Lord came on him and painted a most beautiful and awesome picture of the coming days for the body of Christ. And I challenge you, when we understand that we are a family church with a world vision, then we will be on the front lines of participating in what this video and this Word of the Lord shares. So pay close attention.
Says the Lord, and not the hour of man. By the end of this year, says God, the greatest hour.
Hallelujah. Stand up. Stand up and let's join them and praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, we praise you, mighty God. We thank you. Thank you, Lord. Come on, lift your voice and praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, glory to your name. Glory to your name, mighty God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are bringing it to pass. You have spoken it, and you will cause it to come to pass. We bless your name. We bless your name. Father, I thank you that you are raising up the family. You are raising up the church. You are raising up the kingdom, your kingdom, and the message of the kingdom around the world, Father God. And I thank you that you have placed us, you have chosen us, not as a name, but as a power, Father God, that you have released your power and that we will see with our eyes your glory manifested in this church, in this city, in this state, and in this nation, Father God, and around the world until the whole earth is filled with the knowledge of your glory. We praise you, Father God. We praise you, Father God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, pray. Give him a shout of praise. Hallelujah to you. Hallelujah. Mighty God. Mighty God. Mighty God. Mighty God. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Glory, 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 glory. Your vision, Father God, manifested in the earth. Your vision manifested in this body. Father God, I thank you. Praise your name. I praise you, Father God. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We say to the word that has been spoken, we say yes. Yes. And amen. So be it. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. We honor you, Father God, with faith in our heart that we will move from this place into what you have laid in store for us. And by this place, I mean from this attitude, from this atmosphere, Father God, that your glory is being revealed throughout the whole world, not just this church, but in every assembly, every church where the Christ, where Jesus the Christ is honored as Lord and Savior, and where the Holy Spirit is loosed and free to move in the anointing and the power and the presence of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father God. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Father, I just seal the word that has been spoken this morning. I seal everything that has been done. Even our praise, Father God, that it stays before you and that it pleases you and that your word is planted in our hearts and it takes root and grows and produces much fruit. We know you said the enemy would come immediately to steal that word, but we say that will not happen. He will not steal any word, even if it's one word, he will not steal it from our lives. But we plant it deep in our hearts and we decree that we are good ground and we produce much fruit from that word. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. We bless your name. We bless your name, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Well, I know that there's cake and punch next door, and we'll get over there. But let me offer a blessing to you in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I decree that no weapon formed against you prospers, but every circumstance that you come in contact with, every person, they recognize the Spirit of God in you and on you. You are a sweet-smelling aroma of the presence of God in every place. And everything you put your hand to is prosperous and successful because you are a child of the Most High God. You are taught of the Lord, and great is your peace and undisturbed composure. And the Spirit of God, the favor of God, surrounds you on all sides and leads you into peace and into prosperity of the Father God. And that everywhere you go, you are the light of the world. And darkness flees from you and hearts run to you because you have the answer. We've been chosen as a generation to praise God. Out of darkness into light. You are blessed to be a blessing in all of your ways. You are dismissed. You're free to go. But don't. Come next door and have some cake and punch. And we'll start the celebration. Amen.